Read it with me. Put it, it's on the screen, but say it. But you are a chosen people. Listen, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. I can't hear you. God's special possession, that you might declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Well, I want you to know that here Peter began to remind you and I as believers that you are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. You are the priest of God. I want you to know that you have been given the responsibility under the new covenant. God called you his royal priesthood. Can I have an amen? I want you to know that, listen, that God has chosen you, that you don't need to some special person to pray for you. You can pray for yourself. Can I have an amen? I want you to know you can learn how to get a hold of God for yourself. And one of the greatest revelations of the priesthood of the believer is that, guess what? That now, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been called. But how many know that you have to accept? And here's our first point. If we're going to restore the priesthood of the believer, you got to accept the call to the priesthood. I'm preaching better than you sound. Are y'all sleepy out there because it's Labor Day weekend? Hear me. You got to accept the call. I'm going to share an analogy. You know, again, I'm grateful for my family and my Catholic upbringing. My aunt was a nun, and my mother had five boys. And so as a result, when the nuns would come over to the house, they always say, "Well, Rhea, you know, the fact that you got five boys, not one of them got to be a priest, you know." As good Catholics, you felt that, you know what, that at least if you got a bunch of boys, you got to at least commit one of them to be a priest. And so all as a child, we always heard that, well, you know, I hope you're encouraging one of them to be a priest. I hope one of them feel the call to be a priest. And, you know, because maybe I was the quietest one or maybe I was the strangest one, they would always say, "Rhea, I believe that's the one that's going to be the priest." So I'm going to be honest with you. I ran as far as I could away from my mother's prayer because I did not want to be a priest. But I found out that, guess what? God had already called me to be a priest. Can I have an amen? But listen to me. I want you to understand that because sometimes we've had wrong notions of what it really means to be a priest. Hear me. The problem with much of the church today, we have relegated, what I mean by that, we have given the responsibility to the role of ministry to a group of people we call pastors or we call prophets or we call evangelists or whatever. But the reality in God's kingdom, you are a priest. Come on, say it with me. Say, "I'm a priest." Come on, say it with me. "I am chosen." Say, "I'm God's royal priesthood." Come on, say it like it is. Say, I'm God's special possession. I've been called. Come on, look at somebody and say, "I've been called to be the priest of God." And so I don't care how young you are, I don't care how old you are, that you are God's special possession. Listen to me. When you begin to understand that, listen, that you have the same Holy Ghost, you have the same anointing, you have the same authority, that God has put his hand on you, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation of people. Now let me just tell you, here's why I say you got to accept the call. Because this is not new. When God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, God wanted a whole nation to be his special treasure, to be his holy priesthood. But the problem is they rejected the call. Let me just read the scripture so you can see it in the Bible. God spoke to when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, they came to Mount Sinai where God gave them the law. And listen what he says in Exodus 19, verse 5 through 6. He says, "Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant," listen to it, "you will be my own special treasure." That's where Peter got it from. He got the, when we read 1 Peter 2:9, he's quoting the words that God gave to Moses here in Exodus 19. Listen to what he said. You will be my own special treasure. Let me just say, don't tell, let nobody tell you anything but treasure. You're the treasure of God. You are valuable to God. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care who your family line. When you come to Christ, he adopts you into his family and you become God's special treasure. I want you to know that. That's what God says of you. You're his special treasure. Listen to this. He said, you're my own special treasure from among all peoples on the earth. For all the earth belongs to me. Listen to what he said. And you will be my kingdom of priests. My holy nation, this message you must give to the people of Israel. Notice, God wanted the whole nation of Israel to be a kingdom of priests. Somebody ought to shout and say amen. Listen, God didn't want one group of people. God didn't just want one tribe. He wanted the whole nation to be a priest. Just like today, God wanted every one of you to be a priest. But the problem is, let me just tell you, the problem is, they rejected the call. God didn't just want one person to intercede on behalf of them. God wanted every person to pray. Because the role of a priest, he's to intercede before God on behalf of the people. That's the role of the priest. He to pray for the people on behalf of God. Another role of the priest was to teach people the word of God. He was to explain the truth of God to the people. Another role of the priest was to be busy in the house of God. He took care of the things of God. Another role of the priest was to represent God to the nation and to declare the goodness and the majesty of God. God saved Israel so that Israel would be his messenger to the whole nation. That Israel would be his priest to the whole nation. God wanted one group of people to begin. He said, he told Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and through you, I'm going to bless all the nations of the world. I'm going to set you apart. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to put my hand on you. Look at somebody and say, you're blessed, but you're blessed for a purpose. Come on. I want you to know, when you begin to understand, God told Abraham, I'm going to bless him, and I'm going to make your name greater, and I'm going to bless, and through you, all the nations of the earth is going to be blessed. God took the children of Israel, and he multiplied them, and he raised up a priesthood. But listen what happened. They rejected the call. He wanted every one of them to know how to pray. He wanted every one of them to be able to intercede. He wanted every one of them. But this was in Exodus 20, the next chapter. We read what happened. When the people heard the thunder, many of you know, God appeared to the children of Israel on Mount Sinai, and he gave them the law. And the Bible says, but when the people heard the thunder and the loud blast of the ram's horn, and when they saw the flashes of lightning and smoke and billowing from the mountain, they stood at a distance and they trembled with fear. Listen to what they said in verse 19. And they said to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen, but don't let God speak directly to us, or we will die. You all hear that? God wanted to speak directly to them. But you know what? Because they recognized the call of a priesthood would cause them, they'd have to live holy. See, when they saw the majesty of God, when they saw the holiness of God, when they saw the power of God, they said, well, listen, I realize that because God is holy, then I'm going to have to live a holy life. I realize that because God is holy, that I'm going to have to walk uprightly. And because of the call of the priesthood, and they knew what it would call them, they said, well, listen, Moses, you do that. You be to us, to God. You intercede for us. You pray for us. You talk to God for us. Because they rejected what God wanted. Listen to what he says in the rest of that verse. Verse 20. Don't be afraid, Moses answered him, for God has come in this way to test you so that you might fear him and it will keep you from sinning. See, with the call of a priesthood come the responsibility that wherever you go, you represent him. See, it's like this. If I drove up today and you was at the club and getting your daiquiri at the daiquiri shop, and I pulled up and I said, like a daiquiri, make it extra strong. Y'all all look at me and say, well, Pastor, what you doing? We know that's not right for the pastor to do. Why? Now, it's all right for the member to do, but it ain't right for the pastor to do. You see how we've often had a double standard? No, the reality in the kingdom, there's only one standard. Listen, just tell you, if it's all right for you to club, how many know it should be all right for me? The problem, if it ain't all right for the pastor, it ain't all right for you as well. Can I have an amen? Oh, he's getting quiet in here. The reality is God has but one standard, and it's this word. But the problem is, you know what? We want to have one standard on Sunday morning, and we want to live another way. And so we often reject the priesthood just like the children of Israel rejected the priesthood. But hear me carefully. God is bringing about a reset. You hear me what I'm talking about, Lawrence? You're the priest of your house. You're the man of God. You know, the wife got to say, well, I'm going to tell the pastor. Well, listen, you the man of God. Tell him to you. See, sometimes as though the pastor is the priest of your house. No, you're the man of God, David. You're the man of God. God has called you not only that. Leslie, you're the woman of God. God has but one priesthood. He don't have a special status to be. You're God's woman of God. You're God's man of God. And when you and I begin to receive that and accept the call, it changes the way we live. Can I have an amen? But I want you to know that this is the reset. I believe God wants to once again, because there's no promise that won't be another pandemic. What's worse is that, let me just tell you, if persecution breaks out and they arrest the pastor, then who's gonna pray for you? And then who's going to teach you the Bible? And then who's going to do the work of the ministry? And then who's going to share the gospel with others? You see where I'm going? The problem is, it was never God's intention for the pastor to do all the work. Sometimes we'd rather pay somebody to do it than do it ourselves. But I believe that God is bringing a reset, because when we begin to understand you are the priest, you're the only Jesus that some people will ever see. Let me just say, you ought to be able to lift up and pray for people. You ought to be able to lay hands on people. Really, that is God's intention. You are the priesthood of God. And when we look at the early church, we see a group of believers, that's exactly what they did. They didn't run to special people to do the work. No, let me just tell you, they had a devotion. We read Acts chapter 2, verses, it's on your handout. I'm going to read out of the Message Bible. The Bible says in verse 41 through 45, that day about 3,000 of them took him at his word when Peter preached, and they were baptized. And listen to what it said. I like the way it said in the Message. And they signed up. How many of you signed up to be a part of the kingdom of God? See, but four people raised their hand, the rest sleeping. I say, how many of you signed up to be a part of the kingdom of God? Raise your hand. Listen to me. I'm just telling you. Let me see. How many of you have signed up to be a part of the kingdom of God? Just let me see you raise your hand. Come on, let me see. Look around. That means every one of you signed up to say, you are chosen. You are God's royal priesthood. You are God's special treasure. You are God's holy nation of people. God ain't looking for somebody. You're it. You're the one God has chosen. But with that chosen comes the responsibility. You got to accept the call. We see here in the early church, they signed up. Now listen what they did. And they committed themselves. Listen what they did. They committed themselves to the apostle teaching, to life together. The King James said to fellowship, to breaking bread, the common meal, and to prayers. I want to say this. If they shut the church down, you can still have communion. Let me say it this way. If they shut the church building down, you should still have communion. If they shut the church down, you should still have fellowship. If they shut the church down, prayer should still be going on. If they shut the church building down, the word of God should still be taught, because you are the church and you're the priest of God. Somebody say amen. Come on. You are God's chosen priesthood. They can never shut the church down. They might close the building down. They could close the building. But they can never shut the church down, because you are the church of God. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are God's special treasure. And I want you to know, when you begin to read that, when you walk out of this building, you ought to walk out, I am the man of God. Can I have amen? I am the woman of God. I've been called to, and appointed and anointed by the Lord Most High. I'm not getting too many people excited, but I'm just telling you, I'm preaching to myself. Nothing will revolutionize the church when you begin to realize that God has called you. What are you going to do when nobody can counsel you? What are you going to do when nobody can? I want you to know that you and I need to accept the fact that God has called you to be his royal priesthood. And when you begin to get the revelation of that, you'll begin to understand that. Let me just tell you, it should start in your house. It should start in your home. Let me just tell you, if they close every church building, you ought to say, we're going to still have church in this house because I'm the priest of this house. Can I have an amen? Look at somebody and say, I'm the priest of my house. Can I have an amen? And when you begin to understand that, that's why you see the reason why we reject it, because sometimes we want to do everything in the house other than have church. We can watch worldly movies, and we can act ungodly, and we can do all this and say, well, you know, because it's my house. But when I go to church, all of a sudden people begin to change. They begin to put on a certain mask. They begin to act a certain way. No, you got to realize your house, because you're the priest. When you're there, it ought to be transformed. It ought to be the house of God. Can I have an amen? This building ain't nothing holy about this building. The only thing that makes this building holy is you. If you holy, this building become holy, because wherever you are, holiness come. But ain't nothing, you know, that's why people, when I was a boy, and for those of us Catholic, when we drove in front of the Catholic Church, we did the sign of a cross, because you know what? I passed in front of a holy place. Well, I want you to know, because we had an understanding that the building was holy, but the reality is you are the building of God. They ought to pass by you and recognize, oh God, come on, there's somebody holy there. They ought to recognize, listen, when they walk by you, oh God, forgive me. See, let me just say, you know when you're living like a priest, because you're going to a place they could be cussing and lying, but when you show up, all of a sudden, oh forgive me, I didn't realize a holy man of God is here. When they begin to talk about ungodliness, and you walk in the building, you walk in the coffee room, and all of a sudden, oh, I'm sorry, because we got a holy woman of God in the place. See, when you show up, God shows up, because you are the priest of God. Somebody say amen. I want you to know that this is what God's plan. Imagine the early church. I got to move on. Here's what happened. They accepted the priesthood. They all gathered together. The Bible says they broke bread. Imagine 3,000 people got saved the first day. Next few weeks we read 5,000 people. There was only 12 apostles. How in the world that you're going to disciple thousands and thousands of people? Well, they recognized, listen, it wasn't their responsibility. As God does have a fivefold ministry. It's called apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. But their job, it's not to do the ministry. Their job is to equip you to do the ministry. Can I have an amen? Secondly, I got to get out of here. I'm preaching better than you shouting. Some of you should have stayed home in bed. Amen. If we're going to restore the priesthood, we must acknowledge as priests we have been given a gift. Say, I have a gift. Come on, say, I have a gift. If anybody ought to be tired, I should be tired. We stayed up till 9 o'clock last night giving out food. So why don't you just stand up and stretch just for a minute? Come on, just stand. No, stand up and stretch. I don't like to preach to people that's falling asleep. On just stand up and stretch and look at somebody and say, wake up. Come on, look at somebody and say, wake up. Come on, look at somebody and wake up. Say, wipe that sleep out of your eye. Those of you that's watching right now, get out of that bed and put some clothes on. It's time to be the church. What has happened is, you know, the one negative aspect is that some people have gotten comfortable staying home and flipping through their screen and watching church on iPad, where they much rather lay home and watch church than be the church. But the reality, you and I have been called to be the church. Secondly, let me just say this as I prepare. We must acknowledge as priests that we have been given a gift. You know, when I was growing up, they would ask, well, you know, have you been given the gift to be the call, you know, because the call, we come with a gift, you know, for many in the Catholic Church, I mean, you had to have the gift of celibacy, and that means you could stay alone and you didn't have to marry. Well, I know I didn't have that gift. Yeah, as y'all can see, I've been married for 36, almost 37 years, and I got 4 children to prove it. Come on. Oh, come on, Jesus. But you know you have to have a gift. But there was this is where they missed it. Listen to what Peter said. 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you a gift from his variety of spiritual gifts. Look at somebody and say, I have a gift. Come on. I want you to know the Bible is not lying. God has given you a gift. Every one of you have been anointed. Every one of you have been appointed. Every one of you have been called by God. I like that song. We used to sing a song years ago. I've been called and appointed and anointed by the Lord Most High. I can't please everybody. I won't even try. Jesus is the only one. Come on. I will satisfy. Thank you. I've been called and appointed and anointed by the Lord Most High. Look at somebody and say, I've been called. Come on, say it. I've been called. I've been anointed. I've been appointed by the Lord Most High. Listen, Paul writing 1 Corinthians 12:7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us to help each other. As a priest, you're not only called by God, but you've been given a gift, a grace to accomplish his work. One of the greatest things that transformed my life as a young believer is I began to realize that God had given me a gift. Every one of you, this was 25, 30 years before I ever became a pastor, I recognized that I have been gifted by God. You got to understand, I grew up in the 60s and the 70s. I integrated schools, and I want you to know that as a black man, I didn't have much rhythm. I couldn't dance much. I wasn't the best athlete, so I felt I didn't have the gift. But something happened in October of 1979. I got born again, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I began to find out that I'm gifted, that I'm anointed, that God has placed his hand on me. Anybody beside me realize you got a gift? And I'm telling you, listen, it wasn't because I got in the pulpit and preached. I realized that God placed his hand on me. I realized that God saved me. I realized that I was special. I realized that God had given me a gift to minister in the preach his word. I might not be able to shoot a 3-point, but I can get a soul out of hell. Come on, somebody, give God some praise. When you begin to realize that you've been given a gift, I'm telling you, listen to me. God has given every one of you a gift. The gift is to serve, just as a priest has a responsibility to serve in the house of God, to serve the people of God. You know, one of the things, if you go and Google it, and it says, how do you know you're called to priest? Then you got a feel, you got to have a recognize that you have a feeling or gift to serve others. Well, I want you to know, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit give you a gift. He give you a love and a compassion to want to make a difference in your world. That's why when you begin to realize that for every student, when you go into class, you're the priest in your classroom. Come on. I want you to know, when you're a nurse, when you go in the hospital, you recognize that you're the priest in this hospital. When you go to UPS, you recognize, you get behind that wheel in that truck, I'm the holy man of God on this truck. You begin to recognize, I'm the woman of God. And when there's a problem, you to pray for your fellow students, you to pray for your fellow workers, you to pray for your, when you, wherever you are, when you go in that cafeteria, you begin to let everybody know, listen, I am the priest of God. I am the man of God on the duty. And when there's a tragedy, you don't have to call some priest. You can pray right there and God will answer. Somebody say amen. That changes everything, because you're not just a nurse, you're God's woman of God in the hospital, or God's man of God. You're not just a factory worker, you're the man of God in that plant. You're not just an engineer, you're God's man on that job. I want you to know, you're not just a teacher, you're God's woman and or man in that classroom. It will transform everything when you begin to understand that you're not only been called, but you've been given a gift, and you're going to use your gift to serve and make a difference, to build up others. That's what the early church did. Listen, here's where my role is. My job is to equip you to go out and be the priest of God, the woman and the man of God in your world, called, anointed, appointed so that you can make a difference in your world. Now here's the test. If we shut down our buildings, does the ministry stop? You're shaking your hand and saying no, but in many places it did. COVID-19 is a test. Because if they close the buildings down and nobody being prayed for, then we have failed you. And we have failed to equip you to be the priest of God. If we close the building and we don't hear about no more miracles, nobody getting saved, nobody else getting baptized, then we have failed you. Because I'm telling you, the church is not a building. The church is God's people. I'm going to say it again. The church is not where I go. The church is who I am. Come on, say the church is not where I go. The church is who I am. And I want you to know, when you begin to understand that, they can't ever close down the church because you are the church. Can I have an amen? This is what we see in the early church. Hear me. If you came today, and I'm just telling you, we it's on both of us. Sometimes as pastors and church leaders, we have created a codependency. Because sometimes we like the idea that I'm the man of God, and y'all park my car and carry my Bible, and y'all take good care of me because I'm the man of God in this house. So, you know, you can get addicted to people, but that's not the will of God. I'm not saying we're not to have a certain respect and a certain appreciation for those who teach and preach the word of God. The Bible tells, I want to bring balance. You understand, the Bible, there were apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers, and we're to respect those who've dedicated their lives. But the reality is our job, according to Ephesians 4, 11, and 12, put it down, write it down. My job description is not to do the ministry. My job is to equip you, to train you, to prepare you to do the ministry. COVID-19 is a good test. God stopped everything and said, okay, let me see how well you're doing. Is the church still advancing? If the church still going? If I die and this church languishes, I failed you. I'm going to say it again. If I move off the scene and we don't continue to make a difference and change our world, then I failed you, because my job is to equip you to be the priest, the men and the women of God, to make a difference in your world. You've been called and you've been gifted. Every one of you, listen to what we see about the early church. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 26. I'm gonna just cut to the chase. I'm going to read the Message Bible. You can read it. I put the NIV in the Message Bible. Listen to what it says in the Message Bible. So here's what I want you to do. When you gather for worship, how many of you gathered for worship this morning? Raise your hand. Some of you are scared to raise your hand. How many of you gathered for worship this morning? Now listen to what he's talking to you. Listen to what he said. When you gather for worship, this is what I want you to do. Each one of you be prepared with something that will be useful for all. I want to ask you a question. How many of you came prepared to do something to be useful for the people who was here? No, we have a consumer mindset. We come to church, say, well, I'm going to church, so I come you to prepare yourself so that you prepare yourself with something that will be useful for all. Listen to what he said. Sing a hymn, teach a lesson, tell a story, lead a prayer, provide an insight. The role of the church is to equip you so that you can be prepared wherever and whenever we gather, so that you can use your gift to build up others, so that you can serve. Paul writing in this scripture just jumped off the page, 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. The end of the world is coming soon. How many believe we're living in the last days? Raise your hand. Some of y'all don't believe that. Some of y'all believe we live in the last days. I believe we're living in the last days. Peter said this. The end of the world is coming soon. Listen to what he said. Now, he's giving instructions to us. Therefore, Be earnest and disciplined in your prayer. How many of you right now, because of what's happening in our world, the unrest, the violence, the burning of our cities, how many of you has caused you to pray like never before? Let me just see. How many of you have been having a burden to pray? Anybody? About 10 of you. Thank God for the 10 of you. How many? I don't know about you, but I've been stirred to pray. He said, but what? Because you're the priest of God. You're not waiting on your pastor to pray. You're praying. If you ain't stirred to pray, that just let you know you're neglecting your priestly duty. He said, listen, most of all, continue to show deep love for each other. How many know they can close our buildings, but they can't stop loving others? How many of you, because even in spite of COVID-19, you've been sharing, you've been blessing your neighbor, you've been reaching out to others because you realize that even if the building's closed, because you're the church, how many of your church must still go on? How many of you been helping somebody in this time? How many of you been committed to, listen, we got a few hands raising up right now. Well, I want you to know that as never before, we are called. This is what Peter's writing. Show deep love for each other. Listen, for love covers a multitude of sin. Listen to what he said. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal. How many of you, as a result of COVID-19, you've opened a door and you've had somebody come in and eat a meal with you? I'm just asking, how many of you have, now we got fewer and fewer hands. I say the Bible. I'm just reading the Bible. Because if you're the church, and if they lock down this building, because you're the church, when you open your home, church still going on. When you open your door, church is still going on. The problem is, let me just tell you, because we've relegated others to do it. I'm telling you, you don't have to cook. You can just put a wiener and some water and give somebody a wiener and they'll be grateful. Can I have an amen? The reality is, I'm telling you, the reason why God has blessed us with our homes is so that we can show hospitality. How in the world is going to know and hear the good news if you and I do not be the church? I'm not getting too many amens because you see, y'all just like the children of Israel. Many of you, when I'm beginning to say it, when they begin to find out what it means to be a priest, yeah, your home is not your own. It's the Lord. And all of a sudden, now you're beginning to realize that, listen, guess what? Everything I got is the Lord. So that means that I've got to use what I have to minister to others and share with others. I need to finish this. He goes on to say, 1 Peter 4, I'm reading 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. He goes on to say, listen, God has given each of you a gift from his variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Many scientists say that we will see increased numbers of pandemics. If our church buildings close, are you using your gift as the priest of God to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? As I close, as a priest, we call to function as a body. I'm not going to read it all. Hear me as I prepare to close. You can help me with some music. Listen. The church is not a bunch of musicians coming on the stage. We've made church that. If we strip away the music, if we strip away our celebrity preachers, if we strip away our buildings, what do we have? A lot of people are finding out right now in America, when all stripped away, you know, I like that song, when the music fades and all is stripped away, God is reminding us that a church is not where I go. A church is who I am. That I've been called to be the priest of God. That if they kill every preacher in America, they can't stop the church because I am the priest of God. I am. They could kill every pastor in America, but they can't stop the move of God, because you are God's priest. You are the chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. They can never take prayer out of the school, because when you show up, prayer shows up, because you are God's woman and God's man of God in the classroom. It's a misnomer they took prayer out of school. They can never take prayer out of school as long as we got believers in school. Because when you show up, you are the woman of God and the man of God, and you bring prayer wherever you go. You are God's answer, but you got to use the gift. We function within the body. I said it this way, I read this to Ann. Listen, medically we all know when our ear is not working and our hand is not moving, and our feet is not walking, we say there's a medical problem. Isn't that correct? Well, I want you to know, it's not just true of our physical bodies, it's true of God's church. The more members who aren't contributing anything other than their attendance and paying some money, the sicker the church is. The more people who say, I'm too busy right now, that's the preacher's job, the more we realize the church is sick and in need of healing. I believe in America, God has given us an opportunity to reset, recognizing that as the church, we're a body. You're not just a priest, exist by your own. We are part of a family. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you that we have been called to be the priest of God, that we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a people belonging to God. We have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we might show forth his praises. Father, I pray that today every person will begin to accept their God-given call, that we will not be like the children of Israel, that when you spoke, they rejected the call. And they said, Moses, you speak to us, but don't let God speak to us directly. If you're here today and you're a student, you're here today, you're a worker, you're here today, regardless of who you are, but you say today, I commit, I'm going to accept the call to be God's royal priesthood. Stand to your feet. I want to speak to you. That's you. The rest of you sit down. Don't, if you don't mean business, God, because God's going to hold you. But if you want to say, I want to be God's woman, I want to be God's man, when they go to the classroom, if an emergency happens, I'm going to pray. If somebody fall out, I'm going to be there, because I'm the priest of God. I'm the one that I can intercede for God. I've been given a gift. The Holy Spirit is on me. Listen to me, young people, all of you too. As schools open, God want me to remind you, you're God's woman. You're God's man. God wants to use you in your university, in your grade school. I want you to know, how old do you need to be a priest? I want you to know, once you come to Jesus, if you're 5 years old, you can serve as the priest of God. When you show up, everything changes, because you show up. God is there because you're there. Because you are God's priest. You're the man of God. For every man, say it with me. Say, I'm the man of God. I couldn't hear you. That's awfully weak. Come on, say it like you say, I'm the man of God. Come on, look at somebody and say, I am the man of God. Some of you are afraid to say it because you know what it is. I'm going to get a better response from the women. All the women in the house, look at me and say, I am the woman of God. Come on, say it with some authority. Say, I am the woman of God. That's right. Thank God for women who got some backbone. Men, try it one more time. Come on. Come on, say every man, and say, I am the man of God. Say, I am the priest of my house. That's right. That's right. Let the devil know you're the man of God. You don't have to call somebody to cast out the devil out of your house. Cast out your own devil. Come on. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. If you really mean business with God, come on. Just surrender. Surrender to the call. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I surrender to the call to be the priest of God. I've been gifted. I've been called. I've been anointed. And I've been appointed by the Most High. Lord, help me not to live to please others, but help me to live to please you. Give me boldness to be the priest of God. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus over every man, woman, boy, and girl, every student. I pray that today a new sense of authority, a new anointing is coming on their lives. That God, they're going to recognize that they've been called for this, for such a time as this. That Lord, in the midst of this pandemic, they will recognize that they're the man, the woman of God for the hour. And they've been given a gift to change their world, to make a difference in the name of Jesus. I pray right now, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he make his face to shine on you. May he give you his peace. In Jesus' marvelous, amazing name. If you need prayer for anything, some of you priests, I got to go. I got a plane to catch. But I want some of you priests who recognize you're priests, and you can come up here and now hear me. They're gonna practice social distance. But today, if you got a need, I want you to know that we got anointed people who know how to touch God and hear from God. And if you got a need, if you need to get right with God, if there's anything in your life, you can come and say, would you pray for me? This going on in my life. Watch what God's gonna do when the priest of God is begin to understand who they are and act in the way God intends. I want to bless you. God bless your people right now. You know every need. Come on, God. Fill your people. Use your people. God, in the prison, they're going to recognize they're the priest of God. God, in the home, they're going to recognize that they're the priest of God. God, in their workplace, in the auto parts store, God, in the nursing home, God, in the office building, they're the priest of God. In the classroom, God, they're the priest of God. No longer they're going to relegate it to others. God, they're going to begin to declare, I am the man of God in my house. I am the woman of God in my house. And as for me in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, God, bless your people now. Fill them. Use them mightily, Lord God. Let their world be transformed because now they understand they are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special treasure. That's who you are. That's what God said. That's who you are. God bless you. Have a wonderful God. You can give on your way out. There's ushers on your way out. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.